repentance, Lord, today then comes to us from our gospel lesson for today, the account of Palm Sunday from the Gospel of John, and particularly these words. And the Pharisees were much distressed, and they said, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine the excitement that first Palm Sunday. It was coming upon the feast of Passover, when all of the Jews scattered throughout the world at that day, all those who were able gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate. And then there was Jesus riding into town on a donkey. And why was that such a cause for enthusiasm? Well, just take your time to ask one of the people that's traveling with him. They would tell you that they had just seen this Jesus raise up a man named Lazarus who had been in the tomb for 4 days. And no doubt their thoughts went something like this. If this Jesus can destroy death with a few words, well, he can surely take care of the Roman oppressors with very little trouble. Yet those who had seen the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead were out on that first Palm Sunday campaigning for Jesus as the new king of Israel. Yes, indeed, the crowds heard their campaigns. And the crowds seemed very much to be jumping on the bandwagon. They waved their palm branches in the air, which had become very much a national symbol of the state of Israel. Kind of like one might fly an American flag at a 4th of July parade. They welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts about God bringing his salvation. And they even called him exactly what they hoped he would be, the King of Israel. Do so. I didn't see. Does anyone know who that was? Bud. Okay. Let's have a prayer for Bud. Those that are attending to him then can continue. We'll continue on with our service this time. Dear Lord God, we do come to you, and we know that Bud has fallen ill of some sort here this morning in church. We just pray that you would watch over him. We pray that you would restore him back to health. We pray you would be with those that are attending him and those that will be attending him. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And continue on. It said on that first Palm Sunday day, indeed, the people there were very excited because they had just seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And indeed, the crowds were jumping on the bandwagon. They were talking about salvation. And they were talking about Jesus possibly being the King of Israel. But indeed, not all of the Jews were that excited. No, the Pharisees were not excited at all. They too had heard the rumors that were going around town about this man being the one who had raised someone from the dead. But they had their own plan for exactly how they were going to respond to those rumors. They indeed decided that the best way to keep the Romans out of their business was to keep everyone quiet. They decided indeed that they would rid themselves of this Jesus problem by ridding themselves of Jesus, by killing him. And if they couldn't pull off that plan very quickly, instead, they would kill the very evidence of Jesus' power, Lazarus. For you see, it seemed that every breath that Lazarus took was indeed another breath that added to the hysteria around this man, Jesus. And then there were the disciples, who were caught up in the midst of this whole chaotic scene. And John makes quite clear to us that these people did not understand what was going on. No, the disciples didn't understand the prophecies that were being fulfilled. They simply took in everything that their eyes could see. Yes, the crowds were campaigning, the Pharisees were scheming, and the disciples were pondering. And Jesus, he just rode into Jerusalem. For Jesus was indeed the only one in the whole scene who knew exactly what was going on. Coming in the name of the Lord? How about coming as the Lord himself? As for the Hosanna chants about God's salvation? Oh, indeed, salvation was here in a very real and powerful way. But it was not the salvation from Rome that many suspected. King of Israel? You bet. But not king over some earthly kingdom intended for only those who were ethnically Jewish, but rather an eternal kingdom for all who would receive him. The Pharisees said in disgust, "Look, the whole world has gone after him." But truthfully, the Pharisees, they had it all backwards. Jesus, by riding into Jerusalem that day, was going after the whole world. You see, Jesus rode in on a donkey, very humble, just as Zechariah had promised. But his humility in the week of this Holy Week was not just in riding in on a donkey, but rather, as our epistle lesson reminds us, that humility ended on a cross. Yes, Jesus rode into Jerusalem not to oust the Romans through might, but rather to oust Satan through humility. Yes, he entered into Jerusalem to go after the whole world, to reconcile them back to their Creator by taking their sins upon himself and destroying the death that they were destined for. You and I celebrate Palm Sunday today, knowing the benefit of having the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. You and I know exactly why Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, as our hymn said, riding in to die. We know that he was not there simply to celebrate Passover and eat of the sacrificial lamb. But rather, he was there to fulfill all the hopes of Passover and to become the sacrificial lamb. Today, we speak the same words as those crowds that were there on the first day, except we speak them knowing the true meaning behind them. We say, "Blessed is the one who comes, is he who comes in the name of the Lord," knowing that the one who came is indeed the Lord in the flesh. We sing Hosanna, knowing that indeed he is the one who comes to bring salvation from sin, death, and the devil. We proclaim him to be the King of Israel, knowing that he is the King of each of us who believe, who are children of Abraham by faith. And yet all that being said, all too often we cannot rouse in ourselves the same level of excitement that those who were there on that first Palm Sunday had, even with all of their misunderstandings. It's easy for us to just walk through Holy Week like we did the year before. It's easy not to take time to ponder the great and amazing things that Holy Week really brings to us. We need to take time to consider how awesome it is that the immortal God would take on mortal flesh in order to save us. We need to remember how amazing it is that the all-powerful God would become so humble and powerless in order to save His creation. We need to remember how astounding it is that the sinless one would indeed suffer the wages of sin, death itself, for the very people that rebelled against Him. Perhaps the trouble with celebrating Holy Week in our time is that we simply know too much. We know too much, and in so doing, at times we don't give the attention that we should to this week that was the most important week in the thousands of years of history of planet Earth. Perhaps walking through Holy Week for us is a bit like going to a suspenseful movie, but a movie that someone has already spoiled the ending for, or told you about the ending and ruined it for you. So what exactly is the solution for those of us gathered here today? How do we gather that excitement and that tension that must have been there on that first Palm Sunday day? It's not like we can really forget the rest of the story, or like we would really want to forget the rest of the story, because it's the very heart of our faith. But perhaps today, if we walk through that first Palm Sunday and ponder some of the what-ifs that must have been going through those people's mind that day, we too will catch some of the tension and excitement that was present. You see, the Jews knew one thing very well. They knew that they needed saving. Now, truthfully, most of them thought they needed saving from Rome. But the Scriptures make clear that they also truly needed saving from the same thing that you and I need saving from, our sin. Yes, those Israelites confused, so to speak, the cause with the effect. But they indeed knew that the life that they were living there under Roman rule was not the life that God had promised to give His chosen children. And this being true, their hopes of seeing the Messiah, the Deliverer, coming always ran quite high. Yet they hoped to be the generation alive when the Savior would ride into town. And so any time that there was someone around in the Jewish circle who seemed to be fulfilling the prophecies related to the Messiah, everyone got excited. And Jesus was another one of those people. You see, everything Jesus did seemed to fit just perfectly with the prophecies that had been made about the Messiah. And then those people had just seen with their own eyes a dead man walk out of a tomb. No one they had heard of or seen had ever done that. But there must have been a little bit of apprehension also. For so many times they had got their hopes up that the Messiah was finally there and had been disappointed. They must have wondered if this would be just one more occasion. They must have wondered, what if He isn't the one? What if the chants and the palms and the reveling around this Jesus are all for naught? What if this is just another celebration of Passover, where we speak about God's redemption but do not experience it? You and I are as needy as the Israelites were. We need salvation as well. And we know exactly what it is from. For surely this season of Lent that we have been walking through has called to mind in each of our lives mistaken deeds, misplaced thoughts, and misspoken words. And so today, as we watch Jesus ride into Jerusalem, let us consider also, if just for a moment, this question. What if he is not the one? What if Jesus just rides into Jerusalem, celebrates the Seder meal with his friends, and goes back home? Wouldn't it make our celebration today ridiculous? Would not our children have been carrying just plants that were ready to die in their hands? Would not our hosannas have rung in anything but truth? Would not we indeed have sang, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord" before communion, only to celebrate a meal of wafers and wine? Yes, indeed, if Jesus was not the one, you and I would still be in our sin. We would gather here today at the very best with hope, but certainly not with the fulfillment that you and I live with each day. Indeed, you and I know the end of the story. And as we know and will recount throughout this Holy Week, we confess that Jesus Christ was that long-awaited one. He indeed was the fulfillment of all the promises that God had ever made. But hopefully today, in considering just for that moment, what it would be like today if Jesus had not gone on from the palms to the cross, maybe it will cause our celebration today to be a little more impressive on our minds. For children, wave the palm branches, for the King is here. Congregation, sing Hosanna, for God indeed is here this day to save. Proclaim out loud, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." For Jesus is here today in this place, among us in his word, and soon in his body and his blood. You see, the Pharisees had it all wrong. Palm Sunday is not about the whole world going after Jesus. It is about Jesus going after the whole world. Today, he comes for us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna and amen. You're invited to rise. And may God indeed prepare our hearts for this walk through Holy Week, that we might see clearly and give thanks for our Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.